Well, we have kids in here too. So what ages of kids do we have? Oh my goodness, that's my son. Oh boy. We have all different ages in here. So go ahead and bring this down. So just this last Friday, we actually had a little event here at the church. It was a Lego night for kids. And since we had some Legos here, I thought one of the ways that we could actually involve you and help you understand what I'm going to be talking about is going to be with Legos. So here in just a little bit, I will actually be asking a couple kids to come in, maybe even an adult, to partner with me. So this could get scary fighting for Legos over here. So the only thing that I ask is just play nice. All right, can we do that? Whoever gets chosen, oh, this is going to get chaotic. But like I mentioned, we've been talking about the life of Christ, and we'll go to the next picture, and I'm going to kind of try to get through this somewhat quickly. This is going to be a little bit different service than we normally have because this is our fifth Sunday, and we have a meal together, and eating is a part of worship. What we're doing in here is a part of our worship. Giving is a part of worship, and we're going to be doing all these things together. But as we've been thinking through Jesus' life, there's one thing that really stuck out to me. As I went to Israel, part of the seminary that I went to, I got to go to Israel and walk around, see the different places that Jesus walked, see the different places that Abraham and Moses and all these different people hung out. And one of the things that I was so struck by, and as we read through the narrative of Jesus, is there's something that is so captivating, so compelling to me about Jesus. And it's none other than the picture behind me is prayer life. So often in Jesus' life, what we see him doing is we see him sneaking away to be alone and get together with the Father and spend time praying, pouring his heart out to the Father. In fact, one of the verses that I have two slides forward, it actually talks about this pattern of prayer in Jesus' life. It says he would withdraw to desolate places and pray, Luke 5:16. That was the pattern of Jesus' life. And then he had this relationship with the Father that as we were going through this whole narrative and this whole story, when he was a kid, he didn't talk about God as being like our Father. He talked about my Father. He had this unique relationship with the Father that was even different than what we have. And there are countless different times where he would talk about this, my Father, and he would speak of him uniquely in his relationship with him. And so as I watch and you see Jesus' pattern of getting away and praying, it prompts a question in the disciples' minds. They want to know, Jesus, how do we pray? Teach us to pray. They're captivated by what they see in Jesus' life, and they want to know how to do this. And one of the things, the reason that I go back to that picture of the picture of the older man, he's praying. When I was a kid and I grew up in my grandparents' home, right there in the dining room, this picture sat right behind the table. And I'd always see this thing. And one of the things I always knew when I would get up, I lived with my grandparents for a little while I was going to school. And I would get up and I would go up and sit up there. And every morning, man, they would be there praying through A to Z, a list of missionaries and people, and just praying and begging God to move in the lives of people. And I got to see their prayer life, and I wanted more of that. I was captivated by what they had, and I was like, man, I want a relationship with God like that. I want to be able to pray for people like that. And the disciples, as they're watching Jesus and watching him pray, there's a question that comes up, and they say, teach us to pray, like John taught his disciples. And so this morning, we're going to go through some basics on prayer. And for some of you, you're going, oh man, I already know how to pray. And I will give you this, it's not that hard. People do it. When we're in crisis, people learn really quickly how to pray, right? When we're at the end of ourselves, people learn really quickly on how to reach out and talk to God. But we're going to define what is prayer and talk about some of the components of that. So this morning, what we're going to do is I'm going to have us stand together, and I'm going to read through this passage. It's Luke 11, and we're going to talk just briefly about prayer and the significance of it. Understand this. Jesus is wanting to give them a tool to enhance their relationship with himself. So listen closely at this tool that he's giving these people to enhance our walk even with God. Now, Jesus was praying in a certain place. And when he finished, one of the disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples." And he said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation.' And he said to them, 'Which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey and I have nothing to set before him." And he will answer from within, 'Do not bother me. The door is now shut and my children are in bed with me. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, though he will not get up and give anything because he is a friend, yet because of his impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. And I tell you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. Everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asked for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Go ahead and grab a seat. So much in this passage that we could talk about, but I'm going to try to break this down and talk very simply this morning and try to focus our thoughts on an aspect. One of the things that we look at with this passage, we look at Jesus, and Jesus had this pattern of prayer. We see him right here in this passage that he himself is praying, and the disciples come up to him, and they encounter him while praying. They don't disturb him. They wait for him to finish, and then they ask this question: "Would you teach us how to pray? How can we interact? We've seen you interact. We see you pray with kids. We see you pray. We even saw you earlier on the Sermon on the Mount. We saw you teach us to pray, but now there's a difference." See, when the Sermon on the Mount was taking place in the Sea of Galilee, there was a teaching that Jesus was talking about, and he just started teaching them about a wide variety of different things. And now, all of a sudden, there's a really big difference because the disciples are now looking at Jesus and saying, "Would you teach us?" See, there's something pertinent that they want to know. This is important to them to know. And so they ask him, teach me to pray. I see you do it. I understand that this is something that's important for you, and I want to be able to do the same thing. And so Jesus opens up and he teaches them. And in the first part, basically we go through some basics. Some have suggested that maybe this was kind of an outline for prayer. Others have maybe looked at it and said, it's not so much an outline, it's more of my attitude. As I come before God, these are things that I need to understand. When I'm coming to pray, I need to understand these basic things about God. Maybe it's a little bit of both as we look at that. But there are so many difficult things with prayer that face us this morning, and the latter half kind of deals with some of those. And we'll talk about some of the difficulty with prayer. But before we get into this, let's give a brief definition of what is prayer. What is prayer? And I tried to find a real simple one. A guy named Wayne Grudem, much smarter than I am, he has paper to prove it, says that prayer is personal communication with God. Let's break that down a little bit. If it's personal, then when we think of prayer, we need to think relationally. So one of the common things that I've heard people say is that, why do we pray to God if he already knows what we need? And that question sounds really smart, but when we break it down into a relationship, I want you to think about this, kids. Sometimes maybe you've done this with your parents, or parents, you've been sitting with your kid and they're starting to eat a meal and you see that they're hungry, and so you grab the spoon and you put it up to their lips, and then you teach them maybe a signal if they want more. What do you teach them? More. More. Now, if I know what my child needs, they need food, why would I teach them to talk to me? See, when we start thinking about this in a relationship, this makes a whole lot more sense. Because I want a relationship with my child. And I love to see them say more. And I love to be able to actually give it to them. That actually increases our relationship. When I see them ask me for something and I give it to them, now they are starting to learn that they can trust me. And so when Jesus is teaching people to pray, he says, listen, your Father already knows what you need. You don't have to try to use a whole bunch of words to try to convince him. He knows what you need, but it's so important that you ask. And when we think of it in relationship, it's important. I want my kids. How many of you as a parent have seen your kid need help with something as they're working on something, they're racking their brain, and you're going, I could so help them right now, and this is so much fun not to. And you wait for it, don't you? You wait for it, and all of a sudden the child goes, Mom, Dad, can you help me? What does that do to your heart as a parent? Go, nah, good luck with it. No, you go, man, I so want to help you with this. Let's look at this together. And so Jesus is dealing with something. When we're talking about prayer, we're dealing with something that is highly relational. God knows what we need. I don't need to try to convince him that I need it. But he does want me to come to him and talk to him. So as we think through this, let's look into the passage just real briefly. He says this, when you pray, say this, Father, hallowed be your name. Now, we don't usually sit around talking about hallowed be your name. What is he trying to get at when he says this to these people? Let me offer a simple suggestion. I'm going to give you just some simple thoughts. All that he's trying to get at is to say, I want to acknowledge you for who you are. Acknowledge God as God. When I come to pray, acknowledge him for who he is. He already knows what I need. So I'm not trying to convince him of something that I need. So when I come, I want to acknowledge him as God. So that actually brings up the importance of knowing God. I want to know, who is this person? For me to be a good prayer, I need to understand who this person is. What is he like? When I'm asking him for things, how do I talk to this person? How do I interact with him? Who is he? Is he loving? Is he evil? Is he good? So it brings up the importance for us to actually look through this and try to understand, okay, God, what do you say about yourself? Who are you? When I come before him in prayer, the thing that will enhance my prayer life and my interaction with the Father is for me to understand who he is and what he's like so that I can have a better conversation with this person. It works that way in a relationship, doesn't it? The better you get to know somebody, the easier it is to talk to them. I understand what they're like. We have similar interests. We can talk about that. The next part of it, he says this. He says, not only that, hallowed be your name, but your kingdom come. Now, what does that mean? See, one of the things that he sent the disciples to be about as they were going out with him, he sent them out to say, the kingdom of God is here. It's among us. To proclaim the kingdom. So what is he saying in prayer? How does that impact how I pray? So with that first one, what I'm supposed to do is acknowledge God as God, A. With this one, let me put it simply, it's identifying. Identification with God's plan and purpose. Well, what does identify mean? It means to share the same convictions, the same thoughts as someone. When he says, your kingdom come, I'm looking and I'm going, God, I agree with you with what you're trying to do right now. I have that heart when I come to prayer. I'm not trying to ask for just my will to be done. I'm asking for your will to be done. What are you doing, God? And I want to be talking to you about that. What interests you? And I start talking to God about what interests him. I think about God and who he is and how he's trying to interact with that. So I acknowledge God as God. I identify with what he's trying to do. Well, how does that help me in prayer? See, prayer isn't so much simply trying to change the mind of God, but wrapping my mind and heart and hands and feet around what's important to him. Let me say that again. When we're praying, I'm not trying to convince God to be someone and do something necessarily. I'm trying to do this. I'm trying to wrap my mind around who God is so that I can wrap my heart and mind and hands and feet around what's important to him. One person put it this way, as we bond with God and allow his concerns to become our concerns, we learn to pray for what's good rather than just what we want. That's pretty powerful. So I pray your kingdom come. Matthew, your will be done. It's not just me trying to accomplish something. I want to be about what you're actually doing. And the last one is this, that he's talking about in this section. He says, give us each day our daily bread. Well, the big picture of what he's getting into with each and every one of these, I acknowledge God for who he is. That's something that's included in my prayer. That means I need to know him through scripture. I also need to know him through scripture to understand, God, what are you doing right now? Because I want to be about praying and partnering with you in this. Man, what are you doing so that I can pray better for a Tiffany and Tristan, so I can pray better for the Rankin family, so I can pray better. God, what are you doing? Because I want to be about helping be what you're doing. I want your interests to be my interests, and I want to pray that your interests are also each and every one of our interests. That's about what prayer is. So it's identifying with that plan and then relying on him. Well, what do I rely on him for? For bread? For forgiveness and for strength to overcome temptation. If we're honest and we can be honest in here this morning, man, we're people who have needs. There's need for putting food on the table. And what Jesus is wanting to teach these disciples, these men who are going to follow him, things aren't always going to be easy. I want you to learn to rely on me for everything. Trust me for it. I mentioned earlier that we usually cry out in difficult times. Oswald Chambers, he's another really smart guy, a lot of papers to show it. He said this about prayer: we do not pray at all until we are at our wits' end. Their soul fainted in them, and then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, Psalm 107, 56, or 5 through 6. During this war, and he was in World War I, many a man has prayed for the first time in his life. When a man is at his wit's end, it is not a cowardly thing to pray. It's the only way he can get in touch with reality. We're desperate. We're in need. And we're told to pray to God, to talk to God. Man, I need food. Basic necessities for life. We rely on God for that. I've messed up. What do we do with it? When we mess up, I can go to a God who can actually forgive me of my sin. God, I need forgiveness for sin. I've messed up. God, I don't want to do that again. Help me not to go back into temptation. Keep me from that. We learn to rely and depend on God. So, all right, here's kind of a practical aspect of this when we back this up. Well, what's the difficulty that keeps us from going that direction? And that's the whole part of the second half. He teaches a story. And I love the story. Let me just read it real briefly to you, because we may miss what Jesus is trying to say. Which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey and I have nothing to set before him." And he will answer him from within, "Don't bother me." I can imagine myself saying that at midnight. "The door is now shut. My children are with me in bed. They had small homes. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, though, he will not get up and give anything because he's a friend. Yet because of his impudence, his persistence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs." Now, here's the deal with this. What is Jesus trying to say with this? Listen, this guy, why did he eventually cave and give him the bread? The persistence of the person. He just kept knocking. He kept asking. He kept pleading. But is the point that what we're supposed to do is just keep pleading and keep asking? Is God like this man who shuts a door and goes, "Maybe if they grovel a little bit longer, I'll give them what they want. Maybe 5 minutes more. Maybe 10 minutes more." It's a sick view of God. And he actually answers the question when he says the very next thing. Unlike this person who is not going to come to the door, the person that is asking him for help, it's an inconvenience for the person. It's at midnight. Unlike that person, what does the scripture say about who God is? I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be open to you. See, instead of being the person who's bothered by us, what Jesus is telling us is how we pray is, I need to get over the reality is that I may have a misunderstanding of what God's like. That God is somehow inconvenienced by my asking. That God somehow needs to be pleaded with and poked and prodded until finally he relents. That's not true. What God is like is he loves to answer. He loves when we come to him, we ask, when we seek. He loves to be the one that answers us. Many times we aren't the ones that like to go to him though. Maybe I don't trust him. Maybe I don't trust how he would react. The next part, he gives another story and he says, what father among you, if his son asks for his fish, will instead give him a serpent? That would have been me. Not a deadly one, guys. Don't get me wrong. I mean, just like a water gardener or something. But you get the point of what Jesus is trying to say with this. Jesus is saying, listen, even though we are evil, we know how to give good gifts. When we come before God, many times I can feel like God doesn't care. He's going to give me something other. He knows what a good gift is. So we go back to that aspect of hallowed be your name, acknowledging God as God. Jesus is trying to give a lesson on what God is like so that I'm more apt to actually come and say, I need help. Your will be done. I'm not just trying to get done what I'm trying to do. God, I just want to surrender to what you're trying to do right now. I want my will to be your will. God, I need something. What does he tell us to do? Ask, seek, knock, do it. And he loves to answer. So that's kind of the big picture. But I want to think through something this morning and have a little fun with this. So here's what I need. I need a couple elementary kids. There's one. Come on up. Come on up. Come on up. And actually, Ty, I'm going to use this as well. Oh my, you're just coming right up. All right, we have two. We have two. We'll stay with two. I need an adult in here. We need an adult in the mix. Who's a willing adult? I promise I won't... Nathan, always Nathan. Come on down, Nathan. This will be fun. All right, so in here we've got some nice Legos. You like that? Say your name first.
Gabriel.
Oh, are we off? No, we're on. Test. 1, 2. Try it one more time.
Gabriel.
Even louder.
Gabriel.
Oh, man, even they can hear you now. And give your name.
Carson.
Oh, there we go. And then we have...
Nathaniel.
All right. Let's give them a little round of applause here for coming up. This is not easy. So in my nice little grouping down here, as you see, I have a ton of different Legos in here, right? Here's what I need you to do. As quickly as you can, I need you to try to build me a small structure. Can you do that? As quickly as you can, build me a small structure. Can you do it? Are you ready? On your marks. Get set. Yes. Go. All right. Build this structure. Come on, audience. We can cheer for him too. This is a task. We had a warm up for this on Friday. So we had people coming in and trying to learn to build things on Friday. I know. Did you come to the Friday thing too?
Yeah.
Okay. So you got some practice. Nathaniel, what's that?
The pizza party.
Yeah. There was even pizza there. Nathaniel, did you come to it? Okay, so he's not going to have as much practice. All right, so build. Come on, you got this. Now, here's the thing. As you're watching this take place, this is a lot like life. Now, what I want you to think about is if I asked them to build and keep going, how long could they keep doing this? For those of you that are parents,
hours,
right? In fact, if I didn't have a time frame to set us up with, they would just keep going and going and going, right? And so much of life, there's things that we're trying to do, we're trying to accomplish, we're trying to get done, we're trying to build structures, and there's different things that are happening in our life. But one of the things that Jesus is trying to interact with us about is prayer. And he's trying to talk to us about the difference that prayer makes in our life. And I wonder if we understand the urgency of prayer. So as they kind of continue to build here, before I set them off to a new task, there was a passage that came to mind in thinking this morning, and it comes from 1 Thessalonians, and it's to pray without ceasing. To be nonstop in prayer. That Jesus is trying to teach his disciples when they're asking us, teach us how to pray. He's not teaching them about a crisis moment to come to God with. He's trying to teach them about a life, a pattern of life that is walking and living, like what they're trying to build right now. It's something that impacts this. Well, as we think about things, what are things in life that I can't go long without dying? Water? Food? I'll tell you what, I can go a while without some food, right? I can go a while without some water. How long can I go without air? Not very long, let's just put it that way. Not without eventually seeing some type of damage happening to important organs in my body. All right, let's show them your structures here real quick. Let's see what we got. Oh, that's nice. That's nice. Come on, give him a hand. Hold it up. Hold it up. All right. All right. Now we're going to change the rules of the game a little bit. I need you to break apart your structure because we're going to go into the next part of this lesson. Now, I'm trying to draw a correlation with prayer. I know. I hate to destroy that, but you gotta. Come on, break it up. I see what you're thinking here. You're trying to get around the system. Be an example. Come on. Let's put that in there. All right, now here's what I'm going to do. I'm actually going to walk this back here because let's face it, in life, things aren't always just handed to us, right? Sometimes I have to work to get things. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to build a similar structure to what you did, okay? But here's the deal. You can't breathe. You have to hold your breath. Okay? Now, as soon as you take a breath, you have to raise your hand and you got to stop, okay? Can we play that game? And be careful. I'm not wanting anybody passing out and falling over. We have a nurse in the room. So are we ready to play? But here's what I need you to do. We're going to start up here, and what you need to do is go get a few items from there, grab them in your hand, bring them up here, and then start building, okay? Because the reality with life is, again, sometimes I have to go to things, and then I have to build things, and it takes time, right? So sometimes it helps to get a lot of oxygen in those lungs, right? So how are you going to do this? What's your game strategy? Okay. Hyperventilate before. What's your game strategy?
Don't breathe.
This sounds like an excellent, excellent plan. How about yours, Gabriel? Don't breathe. All right. In 5, 4, 3, 2. Go! No breathing now. Breathing? No breathing. All right. Doing good. No breathing. Oh man, somebody even lost a tire here. This is important to your structure, I think. Excellent music. We have the Rocky theme song going on. I can imagine him running up to the top of those steps. Oh man, there's some battle going on over here. We're still going. Okay, we got the first one to cave. Did you take a breath yet? Have you breathed at all? You've not taken any breaths yet? Are you serious? Have you taken a breath? He's calling you out right now. All right, let's wrap up the music. That's right. Okay, show them your structures right now. We still have a structure. Yeah, give them a hand. Give them a hand. And go ahead and grab a seat. Go ahead and grab a seat. Yeah, that's, I know. Go ahead and grab a seat. Thank you so much. All right, we could have played a lot of different things, and I think you understand what I'm trying to get across, is that even if I had them running around and seeing how many laps they could have gotten while going around in here, the first time, if I just had a person walking and continuing to walk, how long could a person walk without any restrictions on them? Man, a person could theoretically walk all day. Keep going. Why? I'm breathing. But I take out air. I take out something that's necessary for life. And what Jesus is teaching these disciples is there's something that is so essential for life for you. It's for your spiritual life. You got to breathe. And here's how you do it. I used AIR as an acronym to try to help teach us something this morning. Acknowledging God for who he is. When I pray, do I come and acknowledge him and say, this is who you are, God? This morning, even as I was praying to come in here and talk about this, what am I doing? Man, God, you are a great and glorious God. I love who you are. I love that you came and you sent your son to die on the cross for us. I'm even getting into that aspect of identifying with this plan. You came to redeem people. And then I even start thinking through about my own limitations that I need to rely on you. God, I can't talk to these people and try to convince them of how important prayer is. You have to do this in their life. I need you for that. I may fumble over my words this morning. God, please just help them to get the message that they need to talk with you on a regular basis. They need you like the air that they breathe. Would we be a people that are a people of prayer? This morning, my challenge as we kind of walk away and we wrap things up this morning is this. What aspect of prayer do you struggle most with right now? Do you struggle with seeing it as that important? Like air? Are you needing to grow in an accurate understanding of God? Are you needing to grow in a better understanding of who God is and what he's doing? So that what's important to him is important to us, and we talk to him about it. Are you needing to grow in relying on God for daily needs, forgiveness, and strength to flee from sin? Would we be a people? We will never be the church that God desires for us if we don't learn this essential practice as Christians. If we don't learn to breathe, we will never be the ones he desires for us. Let's pray. Man, Father, come into your presence right now and thank you. Thank you for who you are. I thank you for creating the heavens and the earth. I thank you so much that you didn't just create all this and then just leave us on our own. One of the things that we learn in the life of Jesus is that God took on flesh and he lived among us, that you didn't just set things in motion and leave it to whatever would happen and whatever would be, but you actually interact with us and you want to interact with us. You answer prayer. God, we can see that from the lives of the people written in your word. We can see that from missionary stories that we can read in books. You answer, you move. And you love to hear us talk to you. Would we be a people who ask, who seek, and who knock? In your name, amen.